Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The message for today is from the epistle reading from Romans chapter 7, especially these words. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. And this is our text. Of course, with the 4th of July just around the corner, freedom and independence are things that are right there on the very front of our minds right now. It is a point of national pride for us as Americans to seek that independence, to be as truly free as possible. We want to be people who don't live underneath anybody else's thumb. You don't want to have anybody on your back. You know, the ultimate dream for a lot of people, when we think about that freedom and that independence, is to be financially free. To have that financial independence. To be someone who could work for yourself and to be your own boss. That is the dream and that is the goal for so many people. And it seems like a great idea, but a lot of folks who have taken that route are going to tell you that being your own boss does not mean that you are free or independent. As a matter of fact, far from it. You find out very quickly if you try to be your own boss and you try to go out and try to make your own path in this world, that you depend upon a lot of people. You still depend upon a lot of people. You depend upon your customers to keep coming back over and over again and to spread the good word about your business by word of mouth. You depend upon supply chains to get the things that you need. And you find out that sometimes those supply chains can break down due to circumstances beyond your control. You'll probably need to depend upon the help of some outside experts, accountants, and finance folks to help navigate through that world of taxes and keep the cash flow going. No, you find out very quickly, even though you have gone out all on your own path, you still are not on your own. You still depend on others. This ideal of do it yourself is never really by yourself. We are all people who rely upon so many different systems and so many different supports, so many different things in our life and so many different things in our world that work so well that we rarely even think about them. You know, we have well-engineered systems that deliver safe, fresh drinking water and whisk away all that wastewater. We have roads that carry enormous burdens and keep everything moving along. There are the farmers who grow our food and those who process it and those who deliver it. There are the police and the firefighters and our servicemen and women who keep the bad guys away and keep the good guys safe. There are whole networks of people out there right now working who know what they are doing, just simply and quietly going about their jobs, making everything work together. And you are, in your way, in that work that you do, you are a part of that system. There are others out there. There are people who rely on you and the work that you are doing to keep your corner of this world moving along and working. No, being your own boss and doing it yourself is never really on your own. And it's never really by yourself. That's true in this world. And it is also true in the spiritual realm. Because just like we love the idea of freedom and independence in our day-to-day life, we find that we also want that just as badly when it comes to the spiritual world as well. When we're thinking about that spiritual realm, you know, we are people spiritually who love the idea of a God who is the God of freedom, the one who is going to deliver his people and rescue them from trouble and danger, and to take his people to a place where we can be safe and secure, and we can be on our own, that we can be our own boss, and we can be our own people spiritually. You know, the Exodus story in the Old Testament is a classic example of that kind of a story. A story of freedom and independence. It's a story that has been a rallying cry for so many oppressed people throughout the ages. People who can identify with that indentured servitude of Israel. People whose backs were being broken under that yoke of slavery. People who were being driven down and ground down into the dust and death under the heel of cruel masters. Until, as you know in the Exodus story, help comes and rescue comes through the great deliverer Moses, the one who rises up and the one who finally punches back on behalf of the people and leads them out of slavery into freedom, into that land flowing with milk and honey, to that promised land, to that place where everybody can finally be free. Everyone is finally out from underneath that yoke of slavery. Everyone could have their own place. Everyone could do exactly what they wanted to do. That is the freedom myth of the story of the Exodus. But the reality of the Exodus is something quite different. I mean, true enough, the people of Israel were being crushed and oppressed under the heel of slavery, living under a master who was driving them down into death in Pharaoh in Egypt. But their rescue and their deliverance wasn't to be free and independent and autonomous people who would go out on their own and to be their own boss and to do it themselves. No, these people were being brought out from under the rule of one master and one king who wanted to chew them up and to spit them out. They were being brought up from under that master to live under another, under the rule of a good master, a master who would be their king and their lord, the good king and the good lord, the one who would bless them with life and blessings and peace. No, the story of the Exodus is not a story of independence, but it is a story of dependence. A story of complete and total dependence upon God, relying upon God for every single thing that they would ever need. That is the spiritual truth. That is a spiritual truth and the spiritual story, and it's a story that remains consistent throughout all of time, over thousands and thousands of years. It's a story that does not change from the time of the Israelites to the time of the disciples to St. Paul and to you and me here today. Because our truth and our reality is this: we are not a people who are born free. We are born into sin. We are born into slavery. We are born into debt, and we are born into death. We are people who live under the rule of a master, Satan, who wants to drive us down under his heel into dust and into death. We are caught and we are trapped We are bound to sin. And for you and I, our only hope is that deliverer that God will provide himself. The deliverer who is a new and a better Moses. A deliverer who is one of us, but he is also different from us. That deliverer, the one who is chosen and sent by God. Jesus Christ, our Savior who is in human flesh, but yet he is also very God, a very God without sin. And he is the one who is sent to this world on our behalf and for our sake to live that holy, perfect life that we cannot live, to suffer and to die in our place, and to lead us up from this life and world of sin, to raise us up and to lift us up, paying that price to deliver us with that costly sacrifice of his own life on the cross, his own blood that is shed on the cross, to lift us up, to rescue us, and to save us from the tyranny of Satan and sin and death, and to deliver you and I to the kingdom of God, our Heavenly Father. To rescue us and to save us, not to be our own people who would just go back and fall under that heel of Satan, to be crushed by sin and death. No, Christ saves us and rescues us and redeems us, not that we can be our own people, but that we can be God's people. People who are given life in the face of death, people who are given forgiveness in the face of shame and guilt. People who have hope in the face of suffering. People who have heaven in the place of hell. Eternal life in the place of damnation. People who are given a new purpose, a new hope right here and right now. Living in this world, sin all around us, but living with a hope that runs contrary to the pointless and empty promises of sin, Satan, and death. People who have been given new life and new purpose, the purpose of dependence, complete and total dependence upon God to supply for all our needs. Complete and total dependence upon Jesus for that salvation that we cannot deliver to ourselves. Complete and total dependence upon the Holy Spirit for life, purpose, and guidance each and every day. To see how much we rely upon God, our Heavenly Father. And to see how much we rely upon each other. See, that truth of God's word opens up our eyes to help us see how much others rely upon you, and how you rely upon others as well. People look to you and I to share these gifts that God has given to us. And so we rejoice in this dependence and this interdependence that God has given to us. Relying upon him, relying upon one another, not seeing this as a weakness, and not seeing this as a curse, but seeing this dependence and this interdependence that we have as a blessing. To know how valuable we are to God, that he would give everything, that he would pay such a steep price to make you his own. And to see how valuable you and I are to each other. That we receive and that we share these gifts and these blessings that all start and originate with God, our Heavenly Father, the one who gives us all good gifts. All those gifts that flow to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And those gifts that flow from us, through us, talents and treasures, love and grace, hope and encouragement, to share with one another as God has so richly blessed us. Amen. And now may that grace and that love, and that peace and that hope of God, our Heavenly Father, that surpasses all of our understanding, may this guard and keep our hearts and our minds in faith as we live, as we trust and serve Christ, life, hope, everlasting peace. Amen.